Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever let your past cause you to settle for less? Have you ever wished you could redo your life? Have you ever wished you were smarter? Have you ever considered that maybe even though you aren't Einstein, maybe there might just be a very bright person hiding inside you? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of those questions, I'd like to welcome you to Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, on BigMediaUSA.com. I'm January Jones, the wine tester, and today I'd like to welcome Otto Siegel to my show. He is the co-author of Live Your Natural Genius Now. Hi, Otto.
Hi, January. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. And one of my things I always do on my show is I give a little weather report before we start. And I want to know where you are and what the weather is like.
I am in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and today it's a bright, shiny, clear fall day, not too hot anymore.
Okay, well, that's good news because we've had good weather all over the country. I'm glad you're enjoying that. Before we get going on our interview, I'd like to do a little introduction and introduce you to my listeners, and actually, I'd really like to just brag about you. Otto is a certified personal business coach, facilitator and consultant with 28 years of international experience in multicultural environments in the United States, Brazil, and Germany. He has partnered with business teams as well as executive managers and entrepreneurs to help them discover their core strengths and create bottom line results with focus and fun. His specialty areas include executive coaching, leadership development, coaching of individual high performers, career transition, and cross-cultural coaching with clients like Dial Corporation, IBM, Oracle, and the Wachtovia Bank and Foundations. Otto studied biology of human behavior with Nobel Prize winner Dr. Konrad Lorenz at the University of Munich and graduated with a master's in education and a bachelor of science in biology and chemistry. He holds several certifications in leadership development, team collaboration, presentation, and facilitation programs with DDI in the Center of Creative Leadership. His company, Genius Coaching, partners with high performers and progressive companies who are determined to bring out the best and step up to the higher level and discover their genius. Wow, I'm so impressed with you. I've always been impressed with you ever since I met you, but once I read your background, it's quite amazing. Could you share with my listeners briefly the story of how you came from your life in Germany to your new life here in the United States?
Well, I was driven by a passion which always boiled down to one simple sentence: there must be more than this.
Yes.
And it led me from teaching into training and consulting and finally into professional coaching because I wanted to see results. I wanted to see people changing behavior, getting rid of old, no longer suitable habits, and just step up to a higher level in life and business.
Oh, that's incredible. And what makes you believe that there is a little bit of true genius in everyone?
Well, first of all, I went with Albert Einstein, and he quoted already more than half a century ago, there is a true genius in everyone.
Ah.
And he knew what he was talking about. He also said something like, intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them.
Okay. Well, then I might qualify. Can you tell me what an actual genius moment would be? So some of us might be able to recognize it if we happen to have one.
Yeah. Genius moments are those incidents in life where you do something with absolute brilliance and ease, and it's totally aligned with your strength, your motivation, your passion, And people around you might tell you, wow, how did she pull that off?
Okay, that's like standing up center stage and doing your thing.
Exactly.
And having people appreciate you. What does genius mean to you personally?
Personally, it means there's a very strong inner force in everybody who wants to come forth and just shape your life and bring it up to a higher level. Every baby is born a natural genius, and we adore babies so much. I mean, all of you listeners probably can relate to that. There's just internationally an agreement to adore babies. And then 10 years later, what happened to that adoration?
It's amazing.
So we see how babies soak up knowledge. They learn how to talk. They learn how to walk. They grow up in a multicultural environment. They pick up 3 or 4 languages without any effort. And yet with total dedication, not afraid to make mistakes, because mistakes are cute for babies. And only later on, when they enter kindergarten and school, they got systematically degeniusized.
Oh, yes. We see that happening all the time. My daughter had twins 3 years ago, and just watching their development has been an experience where I've just I'm amazed at where they come from and the new things they learn and do every day. They're so open. They're so receptive.
That's right. So we all have that. It just has been covered up with gravel because we were forced by society, by well-meaning parents and friends, and then by school most of all, to fit into a system, into a social system.
When we're looking for genius in our grandchildren, our children, and our mates, what would we be looking for?
We look for the spontaneous outburst of creativity.
Oh, okay.
And that are the sparks of genius.
Ah, okay.
And some of them are stronger than others, and the strongest one, and if you are very observing and caring parents, they might be able to capture those and to develop those further and turn them into a burning flame of fire.
Okay, and that is probably why genius is so rare on this planet, because I think so few people are actually looking for it.
You are so right on, January. That's the only reason why genius is so rare, because we overlook those moments and just play them down or think, oh, nothing special, everybody can do this.
Oh, yeah, we see that all the time when children are in school. When they do something amazing, they're applauded, and then life goes on, and no one takes note that this might be a gift.
That's right. That's the degeniusizing process in full swing.
Okay.
No wonder we forget them.
Yeah, you're talking about the degeniusizing, and are these the top 3 reasons you talked about that people ignore genius traits?
Exactly. I mean, the top reasons we found out in genius coaching over the past 20 years are either to play it down, to belittle it, or to simply ignore it, that this is nothing special, or just to deny that they even exist.
Oh, okay.
And what we do is basically we rekindle this spark of genius that's still laying dormant in everybody, because genius is written on DNA. It's genetic.
Oh, okay. So it's actually in our fingerprints.
That is right. It's part of our genetic outfit.
And everyone has it.
Everyone.
Uh-huh.
No exception.
Okay, that's interesting to know, because I think a lot of people don't realize that they have the potential to be a genius, even if it's in one small area of their life.
Yeah.
I think one of the problems we see with children, and especially when we see teenagers growing up, they all want to be alike. They all want to fit in with their peers. They don't want to stand out or, you know, be the traditional geek person. And they all want to be cool. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of them are ignoring the genius growing in these children.
I'm so glad you bring this up. This is a very important distinction. Because when I talk about genius, I don't mean geeks or nerds. I mean regular people who have it written in their DNA, and the urge to fit in is eventually one time less than the urge to be the true individual self. And that's where the genius quest begins.
Ah, okay. How does the genius quest connect to the things that we've all been hearing about lately? You know, The Secret, the Law of Attraction, and all these things that are so popular. Is there a genius connection to any of this?
Absolutely. I mean, we are ready to adore genius in others easily. We pay expensive tickets, we buy expensive tickets for pop concerts or classic concerts to adore genius. Or we go to sports events to cheer on athletes to break new world records.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have an innate sense for genius. We are nourished. We are supported by genius performance. It does something for us. It energizes us.
And I think that's a good distinction, that you're also including athletic performance as part of some people's genius DNA.
Oh, most certainly. Michael Jordan definitely is a genius.
Yeah, you just don't have another Michael Jordan showing up every day.
Right.
Well, you know, in my own struggles in the golf world, I mean, we look at Tiger Woods, and he truly is just incredibly amazing. And, of course, his father and mother, they recognized his genius very early.
That's right.
And they were very involved in his development, and what a wonderful job they did, and what
mm-hmm.
a wonderful example he's turned out to be for everyone.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to talk with you about when you say that IQ is worthless. So many people are concerned about the IQ number, and I would be thrilled to know it's worthless. So we'll talk about that when we come back. It's wonderful to be back with Otto Siegel, and we're exploring the genius in our world. Previously, I had asked him to give me an explanation when he says that IQ is worthless. Could you tell me what you mean by that?
Absolutely. IQ is worthless because the measurement is too narrowed down on intellectual and linguistic and mathematical intelligence. And maybe you heard about Howard Gardner. I mean, he has been working on this for more than 20 years to define eight different dimensions of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And now it enters also the school system to even train and prepare our children for more than one or two intelligences.
Oh.
That's why IQ doesn't say anything about the real true physical intelligence of any person. The measurement is way too small and too narrow. And that's why for a modern day genius, IQ doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, because it's a number, it's a label, and so many people try to define other people
mm-hmm.
with the IQ number. What's your experience with the people from Mensa, who I know have very high IQs? Have you had any interaction with that group?
I did a presentation to the local Mensa organization here in Phoenix about 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And personally, I was shocked to see my audience.
Oh, really?
Some of them did really well, had wonderful jobs and great professions, and others walked in with a plastic bag.
Oh, dear, dear. Yeah.
They couldn't earn a living.
Oh.
And yet, of course, they asked the smartest question when it came to Q&A.
Oh, right, yeah.
But that's what I mean by practical intelligence. And that's where you can really see IQ is worthless. If the brain does not serve the body, if the mind works against you, IQ doesn't mean anything. It destroys life.
Yeah, I think we see that a lot. So many bright people have problems with common sense, and they need a little more guidance and help. And, you know, it's one of those things that just kind of goes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
What practical steps would you recommend for listeners who are trying to deal with other people and help them with their common sense versus their IQ?
Well, common sense is just the main entrance gate to genius, just generally speaking, for somebody who is new to this topic. I love this Ralph Waldo Emerson quote where he says, common sense is genius in working clothes.
Oh, that is great. I haven't heard that before. That's very wonderful. I like that very much. Okay, so what could I do today to find out more about my natural genius?
The first thing, the first attribute that goes with any genius, for that matter, is curiosity.
Okay.
So I would encourage you and all listeners to stay curious around this topic. Over the last 6 months, 5 books have been published with the title Genius.
And
ours will be number 6 next month.
Oh, my gosh. And what will the title of your book be next month?
Our title will be Yes, You Are a Genius.
Ah, okay.
Whether you know it or not.
Well, you know, this almost sounds like the genius genre could take over the diet market.
There we go. I go with your vision.
Yeah. When we're talking about genius, I think of people who have passion, who have found something that just keeps them up all night. I see this so much in many of the writers that I interview. Mm-hmm. They talk about the passion they find for writing. And I think this helps with their genius, facilitating that. What's your feeling about passion and genius?
That is so true. Passion without genius, a genius without passion just doesn't exist. A genius is somebody that kind of wake up in the morning to get to work again and express himself or herself even more in that passion, to explore more new things, explore other opportunities, or connect with other experts in the same field to make sure it always gets more and more and get richer and richer in life and in business.
Oh, that is so true. When we come back, Otto, I would like to, at that point in time, share with our listeners some information about your website and some of the things that you have available and some of the projects that you're working on. And another question I wanted to cover when we come back would be the concept of multiple intelligences. And that's something that I'm not aware of, and I would like to learn more about it, as I'm sure most of my listeners would. So we'll be right back in a few seconds. Have you ever heard about the concept of multiple intelligences? This is a new concept to me, and it sounds like it might be something from outer space. And I'm hoping that Otto can fill us in on how multiple intelligence is a factor in the genius world.
Yeah, based on my background, I love science, and I love to back up everything I publish about genius and I mention in public speaking and in interviews. Howard Gardner is professor of psychology at Harvard University.
Okay.
And he has been dedicated his lifetime to find out and explore intelligence, human intelligence, on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
So he identified 8 different categories of intelligence.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Could you...
And his work is really, truly amazing. He brought out a new book in 2006. It's called Multiple Intelligences.
Oh, wonderful.
And summarizes his life's work, basically.
Oh, my gosh. I hope he knows that you're giving him plugs. That's very nice. Speaking of plugs, I would like to plug your website, which is www.liveyournaturalgenius.com. And I went to the website, and oh my gosh, it was fascinating. I learned so much more about you, and it was a wonderful visit, and you have things that are available at the website. Would you like to tell my listeners what they will be able to find?
Absolutely. The first thing you'll find, since we like the practical hands-on approach, it's a 6-day free e-course. You can download and get an email course every day, a lesson every day.
Oh, my gosh, and that's free?
That's free.
Okay, I can even do that.
Yes. And the shortcut to that is now our main information hub website, which is www.geniuscoaching.net.
Okay, okay.
And from there you find it directly without any detour, because I assume you have all listeners are direct-oriented and are action-oriented.
Yes, we definitely have an Internet-friendly audience. Could you tell us a little bit about the genius meditation that you offer?
Yes, we offer genius meditation that are physical meditation, because genius is based on physical intelligence, which means intelligence that's encoded in our DNA in every single cell of the body, including the brain, but not limited to the brain.
Mm, okay.
So we do meditations to go into this physical reality. It's how the body sends signals between brain and each organ back and forth all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is a profound meditation, because it awakens the genius within that's laying dormant in every single cell.
Ah.
Genius can be physical. It can be an athletic ability. Genius can be extreme artistic ability or extreme communication intrapersonal abilities, like Howard Gardner describes that, interpersonal or intrapersonal intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be open to include the whole body when we go into these meditations.
Okay. Now, we have a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs who listen to our programs here at Big Media USA. And how would someone in business benefit from one of your programs?
If the business is designed around somebody's genius, it's unstoppable.
Oh, okay.
So the business owner shows up for work every day with a new and renewed passion. And this is rubs off on the other people who are working with him or with her in the business.
Mm.
So to know what one's personal genius is basically the turbocharge for the business itself.
Oh, yes.
And for business owners, we work on what we call their inner game, to find their genius, define it in simple English, which energizes the whole business.
Now, when someone would start the process of discovering their genius, what would be one of the steps? Do you interview them, or do they fill out forms, or how do you take them step by step through your process?
Normally, we interview them personally because every single genius has a unique fingerprint.
Ah, okay.
It's individual as much as our fingerprint is. So we prefer interviewing, and yes, we have questionnaires as well that narrows it down to certain areas of genius.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to the customized, tailored work, the personal interview is indispensable.
Ah, I see. So would they have to travel to where you are, or do you go around the country and interview people that way?
Oh, no, that can be done over the phone. I have clients in Hungary, Canada, UK, and New Zealand.
Oh, this is an international opportunity. How
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, that's where our audience is. We're a worldwide audience,
mm-hmm.
and I hope so many people will look into this. When I was browsing through your website and having a great time, I might add, I noticed that you had 5 tips that you give to your listeners and viewers, and I'd like you to talk a little more about these 5 tips that will help people discover their genius.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I noted was that it's you do it easily.
Yes. You have to stop working so hard.
Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. I love hearing that.
I know, and this offends widely held belief systems when it comes to work. I'm very consciously aware of that. However, when we are tense and tight and driven, we cannot go deeper into relaxation where the real genius lives.
Ah, I see.
Genius needs playfulness, like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It needs application, it needs creativity. And that's why the first one is relax and look what comes easy and natural to you.
Okay.
That's where the genius is at.
Well, I can share a little bit with my listeners on that one, because as many of them know, I'm a passionate golfer. And I'll go to the driving range like most people and hit these wonderful, fabulous balls. And it's also easy and enjoyable. And then you go on the golf course and it's a completely different story.
Uh-huh.
You're tense. You're trying too hard. It's just nothing goes right, and it's just part of life. I can see that applies to everything you do. The second tip that you talked about, and this is a very valid, real thing, and it's called stop believing what you were told growing up.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest one, because it offends the entire de-geniusizing program. And you were told, don't brag about yourself, don't be too proud of what you're doing, don't leave the village, dragons will eat you. And we took it on as children because we believe in fairy tales. And only later on when we grow up and do a lot of exercise, a lot of seminars and trainings and coaching to become more aware of ourselves, then we realize, oh, wait a minute, this is not reality.
Yeah, it's not the real world.
Yes. And genius faces the real world. That's why this second tip is so important, to stop believing what you learned early on.
And I think that so many people that are incredibly bright and brilliant, they are shy about promoting themselves.
Yes.
And they're shy about stepping into the spotlight and getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that obviously is what happens when they're small children.
That is so true.
And it's like, you know, take your turn, fit in, don't do anything out of the ordinary, stand in line. You see that all the time when you go to schools and with the high schools especially, because there they want their peer group connection.
Yes.
The third tip that you give on your website is stop comparing your weakness to other people's strengths. Could you elaborate on that?
Oh, yes. I like this one a lot because in corporate America, we learn so hard to notice our weaknesses and work to make them better.
Uh-huh.
And it can take up so much time and effort that you forget to develop our strengths. But if I love to play golf, why should I take piano lessons?
Okay. Now, when you were talking about this, do you find that this is something that's in our country, or is this something in Europe and everywhere?
It's international. I found the same thing in Germany and in Brazil. Just has a little different cultural twist, but it's based on human behavior, and behavior is international. It goes beyond language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people always tend to think other people are better, they're mm-hmm. smarter, they're stronger,
yes.
they're prettier. We see that all the time. And it's not something that just Americans own. It's a,
no.
It's a worldwide.
So if we have a closer look, when we notice this, we notice somebody else's strengths. And chances are we look into an area where we have no strengths. So mm-hmm. that's where we compare our own weaknesses with their strengths. That's, of course, a frustrating comparison to compare apples and oranges.
Yes, exactly. And it's hard for people to realize that. And a lot of these strengths are things that we should try to emulate and try to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about picking a bigger challenge. You say that a bigger challenge is better than a small one. Now, my question on that is, could that just lead to a lot of failure and frustration?
Yeah, that's a healthy balance. It depends. Our experience shows so far, genius does not come out if there is not a real nice big challenge. By that I mean not overdoing it with too big of a challenge. That can be frustrating. But something that I can feel I can do, but I'm also experience fear with it. I'm a little bit afraid. But fear is just suppressed excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So deep down I know, yes, if I take everything what I have, I could eventually master this challenge. And that's why my genius is called forth. I need to become bigger. I need to grow up. I need to mature more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that smells like genius.
Well, I guess we can see that in your own personal life, because I know that personally your big challenge was to change careers.
Mm-hmm.
Relocate, have a complete lifestyle change, which you've shared with me, and that you couldn't get bigger challenges than what you've done in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they also were frustrating and challenging and difficult. But,
oh, yes.
But then, and in the final analysis, your life has been quite worthwhile, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And the good news is it's getting better every day.
Oh, I love hearing that because I know how passionate you are about this genius work that you're doing and mm-hmm. what a wonderful area for you to use your expertise and your teaching ability. One of the last tips that you share, and this one is probably a big stumbling block for most people, and the fifth tip is give yourself permission. Oh, my gosh, that is difficult to do.
Yes. And you would not believe how much we face these stumbling blocks, my partner Suzanne and myself, in coaching people to become their best self,
uh-huh.
the best version of themselves, the most magnificent version they can be. They need to give themselves permission to do so. And that's a very profound step to do. First, we give them permission
uh-huh.
to emulate the behavior. But then they more and more own this.
Oh.
And if this grip of the deprogramming, the deep geniusizing loosens up eventually after a few weeks or months, then they start to become more alive, literally.
Oh, I see. And they take on a zest for life and probably get a lot more confidence.
Much more confidence. And also frequently they go from desperation to inspiration.
Okay. Let me ask you a question in your program, because I've talked with many writers and they talk about the journaling and writing things down and positive affirmations. Does that play a part in your program?
We even go beyond affirmations. We call them declarations.
Oh, wow.
Which means executive decisions.
Those are the biggies.
Yes.
Those are the difficult ones to make.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I've seen in my own life that when I write something down, whether I like it or not, I'm forced to own it and I'm forced to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process that so many people resist.
Exactly.
Yes, it's a hard thing to do because you have to be open, you have to be honest, and you have to, frankly, just lay it on the line, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, for example, with entrepreneurs and business owners, we frequently go with the declaration along the lines of, I do something every day to grow my business.
Oh, yes, yes. That we know about that every day.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, I would love to talk about your co-author, the beautiful and brilliant Susanna Lang. We'll look forward to talking about her in just a few seconds. I would like to share with our audience, our listeners, Otto, I'd like to share with them your wonderful, the brilliant, beautiful co-author and your co-worker and partner, Susanna Lang. She is fabulous. I've had the pleasure of meeting her and spending time with both of you. Could you tell us how you began to collaborate together?
Yes, we started dating back in 1994, and one of our first dates we had went out for dinner, and after the first 5 minutes of conversation, I just almost interrupted her with a comment telling her, Susanna, do you know that you are extremely smart?
Ah, okay.
And that was news to her.
Oh, my gosh.
And for you, knowing her, it's so obvious that this girl is a genius.
When she walks into the room, you can just see it, and she didn't know that.
She didn't know that.
Oh, dear.
And it took her weeks to debate it with me back and forth until we finally found real-life scenarios in her life
uh-huh.
where she has proven it over and over again that she is absolutely genius.
Oh, that is wonderful story, and... How does it work with the two of you working together and writing together and getting your projects online? What parts do you do and what does she do?
We learned that our geniuses are very complementary. She loves the writing, the internet part, and the coaching piece.
Uh-huh.
The coaching piece I love myself very much, and I'm more into speaking and going out and being the salesperson.
Okay.
So we complement each other really well, and we both like a high level of intensity with each other.
Ah,
there's
yeah.
never a dull moment, and yes, we totally support each other in our individual genius.
Okay, let me ask another question. How do two geniuses, because I know you're one too, how did the two of you settle something when you have a big disagreement?
We ask for help.
That's a perfect answer. I love it. You go to a professional.
Yes. Fortunately enough, we have a big circle of friends.
Ah.
So we have a lot of opportunities to ask for help and input depending on the area where we disagree.
Okay. Now, is there such a thing as a genius therapist or a counselor?
We call it genius coaching.
And guess who does it?
And yes, we do it, and there are others that do it as well.
Uh-huh.
But we are definitely in this area strongly where we focus always on the bigger picture, on the heart and the soul and the intuition in human communication, not only the mental exchange of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we take our disagreements between Susanna and me and myself to the next level, where we say, wait a minute, what is the real root cause of what we want?
Yes.
What is the higher purpose we serve here?
Oh.
And that immediately leads to answers in most cases. Plus, we love each other very much.
Yes, I can see that. And you have a wonderful working relationship and a wonderful personal relationship. It's nice to see two people that can find their passion in life and to apply it and to be able to help other people. As most of us suspect, our DNA plays a big part in our future, and our fingerprints are there with genius. To have genius, as Otto says, is as natural as having arms and legs.
Very true.
Yes, and I think that I would hope that all my listeners who have young children or who have a problem figuring out what they want to do with their life and they might need a little coaching, a little help, and a way to find out where their passions lie and where their talent, mm-hmm. and where they can discover their own genius.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend Otto and Susanna, and I hope to have Susanna on a show soon so we can do He Said, She Said. I would like to remind everyone that this is the 11th commandment, thou shalt not whine, on Big Media USA. I'd like to thank Otto for visiting with us today. And remember, stop whining, try to start smiling. And if that doesn't work, I think you ought to try to start eating some chocolate. And as Otto knows, I love chocolate, and we all do. Take care, and I look forward to seeing you soon, and keep up the good work.